Welcome to this introduction to Bird Grove, written by Alexi K. Campbell and directed by Anne Ledwich. The audio described performance at Hampstead Theatre is on Saturday, the 21st of March. There's a touch tour at 12:30. The introductory notes will start in the auditorium at 2:15 and the performance at 2:30 p.m. The performance runs for approximately 2 hours and 40 minutes, including an interval, and the live audio description will be given by Miranda Yates. Information on Hampstead's website tells us, as long as you only have one sort of person telling the stories, well then our world will end up looking very like that one sort of person. It makes sense, doesn't it? Please note, this production contains the theme of parental death. There's a company of 9 actors, 4 women and 5 men. The costume design reflects 1840s middle-class England. Marianne Evans is in her 20s, with a pale makeup-free complexion and intelligent brown eyes. Her long dark brown hair is parted smoothly at the centre and drawn back into a neat bun at the nape of her neck. For much of the play, her petite frame is dressed in a modest mid-19th century day dress in a deep damson colour. The gown falls to the floor in a full, softly gathered skirt and is shaped at the waist with a fitted bodice. The sleeves are cut wide and slightly flared. They finish just below the elbow, where they're edged with a delicate white lace. A small white lace collar frames the neckline, and she wears a cameo brooch at the throat. The overall impression is one of propriety and restraint. Later, she swaps her winter dress for a floral patterned dress in a honey yellow. Robert Evans, Marianne's father, is a white man in his 60s with a tall, muscular build, the frame of someone accustomed to a lifetime of physical labour as an estate manager. His complexion is ruddy and weathered, and his small discerning eyes sit beneath heavy brows. His wavy, greying hair is slightly unruly, still carrying traces of its former auburn colour, echoed in his full beard and moustache. He wears plain but well-cut attire, black trousers tucked into polished black riding boots, a black wool waistcoat and a frock coat with broad cuffs and wide lapels trimmed in black velvet. From a small pocket in his waistcoat, we glimpse the silver chain of a pocket watch. At his throat, a black cloth tie is neatly knotted. Much later, and out of the company of guests, his look is a little rumpled and his hair uncombed. Underneath his richly embroidered dressing gown with red velvet lapels, his shirt is untucked over his trousers, and he shuffles about in a pair of comfortable cream suede slippers. Robert carries himself with a solid assurance of a practical man, grounded, self-possessed, and moving with the confident stride of someone used to command and responsibility. Isaac, Marianne's brother, is a white man in his 30s. His mid-brown hair is neatly combed and side-parted, and his face is clean-shaven, except for pronounced mutton-chop whiskers framing his cheeks. He's dressed with careful propriety in the fashion of a respectable Victorian gentleman. Dark grey pinstripe trousers, a mid-grey frock coat, and a patterned grey waistcoat. A pale shirt is fastened at the neck with a neatly arranged grey bow. Later, he wears a similarly smart outfit in deep browns. As the eldest son, he carries the quiet assurance of somebody accustomed to inheritance, responsibility, and the expectations of society. His posture upright and composed, his brow often furrowed whenever conversation strays towards the unconventional. There's a quiet authority in his bearing, the confidence of a man conscious of his position and of the watchful gaze of the world around him. Horace Garfield is a white man in his late 30s, a little below average height, with a compact, slightly stocky build. His neck-length brown hair is carefully arranged and swept across to one side, with a single deliberate curl resting over his right eyebrow, as though placed there with some pride. His attire is noticeably fashionable and somewhat showy. He wears an expensive, well-tailored jacket in a rich brown fabric, patterned with a grid of sandy-toned squares, the collar and cuffs picked out in the same lighter shade. Beneath it is a pale shirt and a vibrant but slightly garish waistcoat in a dull gold brocade, secured at the throat with a small olive-coloured bow. His polished brown boots are finished with immaculate cream spats. Horace carries himself with an eager, slightly bustling air. His movements are precise and a touch fussy, his chin often jutting forward as though determined to press a point. There's something faintly terrier-like in his manner, a tenacious insistence beneath the polish. Maria Lewis, Marianne's former teacher, is a white woman in her 50s with a pale, scrubbed complexion and thoughtful, observant eyes. Her straight brown hair is drawn smoothly back into a neat bun at the back of her head, with a soft, wispy fringe across her forehead. She wears a plain steel-grey day dress, modest in cut, fastened at the back with a small bow. A rounded white lace collar sits neatly at the neckline. The dress falls in a long, simple line to the floor, its restrained style reflecting both her modest means and her devout character. Maria carries herself with an upright posture, her manners serious and disciplined, yet there's a gentler softness in her expression when she looks towards Marianne. Later, Maria appears in a lighter cotton dress, cream in colour and patterned with small checks in soft red, black and white. The dress fastens down the front with small red buttons and is gathered at the waist with a cream fabric belt. The change in colour brings a slightly brighter warmth to her appearance, though her composed, careful manner remains much the same. Unexpected arrivals Charles and Cara Bray are friends to Marianne and exude a more progressive approach than others. Cara is in her early 40s and has light brown skin, and her dark curls are pulled back off her face into a neat bun. She has a warm expression and a confident manner. Her clothing too feels modern and stylish. When we first meet her, she wears an exquisitely tailored damask pink satin day dress with a fitted bodice and a small bustle at her narrow waist. The skirt with rows of delicate frills towards the hem and pleats across the shoulder. The voluminous sleeves are fitted at the cuff with a white lace trim and more white lace at the collar, teeming the outfit with pale pink boots with a low heel. Later, she wears a pale cotton dress with a pattern of mint green checks. Cara's husband Charles is a white man in his late 40s with a thoughtful, slightly scholarly air. His hair is thinning, bald across the crown, with short white hair remaining at the sides and back. His manner is relaxed and genial, and he often speaks with an easy confidence that suggests a man comfortable with ideas and lively debate. His clothing reflects a more progressive sensibility than that of the Evans household. He wears cream trousers and a pale yellow patterned waistcoat over a crisp white shirt, fastened at the throat with a pistachio green bow. Over this, he wears a soft pink jacket that falls to mid-thigh, cut in the style of a frock coat. On his feet are polished tan boots. There's something warm and quietly charismatic about Charles, a man whose curiosity about the world seems to animate both his conversation and his appearance. Monsieur Lafontaine is a travelling mesmerist who accompanies the Brays. He's a white man in his 60s with a rugged complexion and large penetrating eyes. His straight greying hair is long, falling just past his collar, but his most striking feature is a long pointy greying beard that finishes at his chest and a moustache that curls up at the ends. His outfit is stylish, adding a little continental flair to the gathering. He wears a long dark frock coat with cream trousers, a patterned waistcoat of soft apricot and brown stripes, and a brown bow at the neck. Like Robert, he too has a pocket watch on a chain. The same actor later plays Hugo Baring, the family solicitor, his greying hair combed straight and his long, stern face clean-shaven. He has a composed, measured manner, his expression thoughtful and reserved, the sort of face accustomed to careful listening and quiet judgment. He has an understated formality, dressed in dark wool trousers with a faint pinstripe and a matching long jacket that falls to the knee. The jacket lapels are paler light brown, which tones with his waistcoat and brown tie with polished leather boots. Baring carries himself with calm restraint, his movements economical and deliberate, and he carries a black leather briefcase. Events unfold entirely in the Evans family home, Bird Grove, a large Georgian house on the outskirts of Coventry, in the years 1841 and 1842, and later in 1849. All of the action takes place within a single large interior space representing the ground floor of the house. Rather than separate enclosed rooms, five domestic areas share the space and are suggested by furniture arranged in different areas. The expanse is roughly 12 metres wide and 8 metres deep, with tall walls that rise to a height of about 10 metres. Across the back wall are broad sections of wooden panelling painted in a pale blue-grey. The side walls are in a similar tone and contain openings that serve as entrances and passageways within the house. Two features dominate the design. The first is a vast window positioned in the centre of the back wall. It's around 4 metres wide and rises almost the full height of the space, drawing the eye upwards. The glass is opaque and for much of the time shows only the changing quality of light outside rather than the detail of the surrounding landscape. The second feature is a large circular revolve about 8 metres in diameter set into the centre of the gunmetal grey wooden floor. About halfway back, the space is divided by two broad doorways facing us. Between them is a high arch, and rather than a solid wall above the arch, there's a sheer screen painted the same pale tone as the surrounding walls, so that we can still glimpse the room beyond. On either side of the arch stand two tall bookcases facing one another across the space. Each is narrow, about half a metre wide, with around 10 shelves filled with books. The rooms that share the space are the drawing room, Robert's study, the dining room, the kitchen, and the entrance hallway. The drawing room is indicated in the centre by an elegant pale grey upholstered couch with white paintwork and a matching chair, and a round dark wood occasional table. Robert's study is indicated by a sturdy dark stained desk with two carved wooden chairs. The desk has an inkwell, candlestick, a blotter, and a couple of large ledgers. Both rooms are located on the revolve, which turns, bringing them towards us. The hallway is indicated on the left side of the space. When characters arrive at the house, they're received through the unseen front entrance at the back on the left. The hallway then continues through the left doorway, where two more white-painted wooden chairs rest against the left side wall towards the front. The back right corner is where the dining room is located, indicated by a polished table large enough for 6 to 8 people. The kitchen is through the doorway on the right and takes up the front right corner. Just through the doorway against the right side wall is a sturdy cast iron range, and in the centre of the space is a waist-high work table with a low shelf underneath. When the play begins, on its surface is a freshly made cake, a tray of teacups and saucers, and a porcelain teapot. On the range is a large brown enamel kettle, and a faint red glow emanates from the fire grate at the front. Cast and production credits. Mary Ann Evans is played by Elizabeth Dulau. Robert Evans is played by Owen Teal. Isaac Evans is played by Jolyon Coy. Maria is played by Sarah Woodward. Horace Garfield is played by Johnny Broadbent. Cara Bray is played by Rebecca Scroggs. Charles Bray is played by Tom Espiner. Monsieur Lafontaine and Hugo Baring are played by James Stadden. Dorothea, who is described live, is played by Katie Eldred. The set designer is Sarah Beaton. The costume supervisor is Chantel Short. The lighting designer is Matt Haskins. The sound designer and composer is Harry Blake. Voice and dialect is by Michaela Kennan. The co-composer is Clara Popple. The writer is Alexi K. Campbell, and the director is Anne Ledwich. This is the end of the introduction to Birdgrove at Hampstead Theatre. If you have any questions or need further assistance, please contact the box office on 020 7722 9301.